Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Baltimore hotel workers have joined thousands of others across the country on strike.
We're fighting for equality of pay. You know, we're working for a company where the 52-week high as far as the stock is concerned has been over 220.
After six hostages were found dead in a tunnel in Gaza, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says he's seeking forgiveness for not saving them. Heading into a meeting with advisors today, President Biden was asked,
Mr. President, do you think it's time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to do more on this issue? Do you think he's doing enough?
No.
The president's now in Pittsburgh for a campaign event with Vice President Harris. Fairly smooth travel day today for those heading home from the long holiday weekend. This woman is at the airport in Atlanta.
We flew from here yesterday down to Tampa and then back today. Went to go see a concert. We went to go see Imagine Dragons. They were amazing.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz warns a Labor Day crowd of supporters in Milwaukee what would happen to working people if Donald Trump wins the election.
They have told us exactly what they're going to do. The goals in Project 2025 are clear. It should be subtitled, How to Screw the Working People. That's how it should be listed.
Press pool vans following Walz were involved in a crash on their way to the speech. A Harris campaign staffer reportedly suffered a broken arm. A reporter may have had a concussion. Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. The Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. Meanwhile, President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. This is Civic Media News. Congress is considering a bill to better inform the public about end-of-life care options like hospice, palliative care, and advanced care planning. Suzanne Potter reports.
The Compassionate Care Act would establish guidelines for advanced care planning between health providers and patients. Lisa Paul is a social worker who guides families through hospice.
We live in a culture that is very avoidant of conversations on death and dying. And so public education around the importance of planning ahead will improve access so that everyday Americans know to ask for hospice and palliative care.
The bill would direct the government to develop education resources for providers, expand telehealth options, and facilitate a study on a national advanced care planning registry that would allow patients to transfer their advanced directives from state to state. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A five-game winning streak for the Brewers comes to an end. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single to score the automatic runner. The Brewers took 3 of 4 games for the Reds in the weekend series and stand 9 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Now Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals Monday afternoon in a 3-game set. The NFL season kicks off this week with a game on Thursday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Then on Friday, the Green Bay Packers will take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue as both teams changed defensive coordinators and running backs for this season, and it'll also be the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Kickoff will be on Friday night. This week is the start of conference season in high school football. It is week 3. You can find one of nearly a dozen games around the state right here on Civic Media. With sports for Civic Media, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-50s. More sunshine for Tuesday, a high to the mid-70s and a little breezy. Sunny in upper 70s on Wednesday. A chance of showers and storms into Thursday. It's 71 right now.
in a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Civic Media Spotlight, you'll hear from Busted Pencils. This week, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny break down the shocking news from the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, a conservative anti-public school think tank that has only now concluded that systemic poverty has an impact on education.
Buster Pencils, it's fully leaded education talk. It's truly educated educators talking education. Got a lot of participation right away. Cindy, L.A., Tom, Keith calling in. Yeah, we were talking about the Electoral College. We're moving on to that, though, kind of talking about new findings out of the Fordham Institute, not to be confused with Fordham University, the Jesuit institution in New York City. But socioeconomic factors may influence the academic achievement gap. In fact, if you read very much all the way to the end, one of the most strongest indicators they point out is parental income, which the last time I checked, parental income has something to do with poverty. How much money your parents make and the education of your mom. Throw those two together, which are, guess what? Those are truly socioeconomic indicators. Guess what happens? The achievement gap, particularly for the racial achievement gap for Black, white, and Hispanic students, gets expanded, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, here's the thing, Fordham, sorry, a little bit too little, way too late. We've known this we have research evidence for decades now, and it goes longer than that.
Right.
That socioeconomics factors, and I'm going to say that's also code language for like what Tim's talking about, like the systemic way poverty exists in this country, the lack of access to health care, food deserts, the young people who don't have access, young and old people who don't have health care access, mm-hmm. Right? The ways that we fail communities, right? So, but for decades and decades, I can remember when I was first becoming a teacher 20 some years ago, I had a professor. And you could tell him the family income of a household, and he could tell you within a tenth of a point what that student would get on their ACT and SAT. He had mathematical algorithms that could give you the you input an income and then combined family income out of a household, put it into the computer, right down to the last kind of thing. He could tell you exactly what that kid's score is, know nothing about them, never have looked at their grades, and be accurate to within a tenth of a point. So this is the way that we have known for a really long time. It doesn't really matter who you are, right? The systems are stacked in a way where you have, if you're born into poverty, you have uphill the whole way. You have no opportunity to pick yourself up from the bootstraps, as so the myth might tell. Now, occasionally, like winning the lotto, people make it. And do they work hard? They sure do, Tim. So I don't want to take that away from those folks or listener out there who's like, man, wait, I was poor when I was young and I've worked really hard. I wouldn't exactly call myself not poor now. Like, I think most people in America probably listening aren't exactly identifying as billionaires, millionaires, or you know, wealthy to say, but they sure worked hard. But it doesn't work for everyone. In fact, if you are at a disadvantage when you're born or in the community you're in, you will likely stay at or go lower than that level in this country. And that's a sad thing. So a little bit too little, way too late, boredom, and sorry, doesn't annul you of your sins in my book. Some of us who are familiar with this. Oh, man. What's that? That's the Democracy in Action bell every day at the same time at the 40-minute mark in the hour. We ring the bell, and that signals that we are going to award the Democracy in Action Award. Today's Democracy in Action Award, you know what? It goes to everybody who values justice.
Mm.
That's working not too little, not too late, right? So I know there are a lot of people out there say, cut them some slack. The Fordham Institute is finally agreeing with us. Well, I'll tell you what, the us way back then, and it wasn't even me, it's generations before me who were saying, you know what? This is systemic. Poverty matters and we can do something about it. And when we do something about it, it changes lives. It improves our entire country. And it starts oftentimes at education and healthcare and early childhood, you know, kinds of ways. And to systemically ignore that, especially and to ignore that in marginalized communities, I hate that term. It should be people who have been excluded from the power and privilege that the political majority has held for far too long. But, you know, we often refer to those as minority groups. Don't like that language, but that'll help identify. Have suffered disproportionately and are more likely to experience factors of poverty. So Fordham, a little bit too little, a little bit too late. So Democracy in Action Award, you know, those are core democratic values that support democracy. Go to everybody who was justice the whole way.
But you know, Johnny, you pointed out to the prediction ability of socioeconomic. And just a reminder for people, we have had on the show Christopher Tenken from Seton Hall, who has really come in to say, you want to know what your test scores are going to be? All he needs are a few socioeconomic factors, very much like you said, Johnny, and his ability to predict the test scores before the students take the tests. He can do that without knowing anything other than a few socioeconomic factors. I think that is really, you know, again, pointing that out. But, you know, the other part here, too, is that we talk about this often. How do you make sense of media? You know, and this is one of those things, the education media here, Johnny. And the title of this article, I'm going to put the title out here, Socioeconomic Factors Partially at Play in Racial Achievement Gaps. Partially at play. So you can hear right there, there's kind of this hedging. Oh, I don't know, maybe. All the way to the end of the article, though, the findings. Household income was the biggest contributor to the Black-White achievement gap. Okay, so how do you go from the income, household income being the biggest, and you have a headline, Jess, that says, well, partially.
I mean, partially. Technically, Tim, 90% is partial.
I guess this is one of those where you're just like, you're kidding me, right? And typically, so this kind of means also comes a little bit of a critique for K-12 Dive, who put this out there. They're the ones who titled this piece from, you know, and again, the research they're citing is coming out of the Fordham Foundation. And I know the Fordham Foundation probably said, hey, can you give us a title that's a little bit more up our alley? You know, I mean, socioeconomic partially at play. Hey, and you know what? And by the end of the article, which most people don't read to the end of the article, you could throw in there that big household income was the biggest contributor to the Black-White achievement gap. And Johnny, as you point out, too, how many people listening right now are going, duh, we already knew this. It's like, yeah, you know, and that's why we're putting it out there, though, too, is to say, though, our advocacy and the continuing talking about this and laying out the realities that these are the things that truly affect academic achievement. If you really are concerned about students doing well in school, hey, now, finally, after 40 years of yelling that poverty don't matter, the reality is that poverty does matter. We have been saying that for going on 40 years now. In fact, the advocacy that we have been putting out there, I would take this as an accomplishment that we have finally pushed an organization like the Fordham Foundation to actually square with the true research and the research findings out there that says, hey, when you're dealing with academic achievement, you got to look at household income. And man, guess what? One of their other recommendations, though, too, boy, I mean, talk about a big one, but early childhood education should be well funded.
Fancy that.
Incredible.
Well, and in fact, Johnny, that is one of the insights in there, too, is that the investment that you have pointed out many times, that the reason we're doing these things are the investments early on, and we know they pay off in the long run. So guess what? An investment in early childhood education, early childhood interventions. Now, they don't go in besides the early childhood education. They don't talk about the early childhood interventions that we might point out that would be, you know, like you said, access to food, healthy food. Maybe if you're in Minnesota and the governor there, who's now the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats, Tim Walz, where they said, you know, they're not banishing books in Minnesota. They're banishing hunger, free breakfast and lunch for those kids. Because guess what? That issue, that economic condition, hunger, big contributor to the academic achievement gap. So we're going to go after that. Healthcare, yeah. Shelter, all of these issues that may or may not necessarily be included in early childhood advocacy. So Fordham, if you're saying that all kids need access to, quote, preschool, I'm not so sure that that's exactly what your research is saying. Your research is saying poverty, anti-poverty issues connected to early childhood education. Because, Johnny, there's actually a pretty good amount of research out there that early childhood education without the intervention of poverty reduction actually doesn't go that far. It doesn't go that far because it just doesn't, because we go back to the number one idea, the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When you need food, shelter, healthcare, and clothing to actually survive in this world, survive. That's just to survive in this world. Then you want to start moving up to the thriving categories of Maslow's hierarchy, where you got to do a little bit more. But to get up there to that learning, that self-actualization, you got to have things like food, healthcare, hunger, shelter, all of those things. One more other trending news issue here as we're coming up on this. So, Johnny, but guess what? One of the better ways to actually teach kids how to think critically, they can actually get into a discussion of where did this history content come from? So in other words, why do we learn about Martin Luther King last year? And why is this year Martin Luther King Jr. considered a controversial subject? Hey, let's study how history standards are made, because that might actually give us into insight. Makes me ask the question, though, would that be considered a subversive activity, actually teaching why Martin Luther King didn't make the cut? Hey, we'll figure it out more. Hold on.
Fox reports, boys in the rich. We go to America. Whoa!
Busted Pencils is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Shaw, WAUK.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and AgriFab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat covers how the Inflation Reduction Act from the Biden-Harris administration is already making a difference in lowering long-term energy costs. Selena Heller takes us to Black River Falls to do the math on how an upfront tax credit for solar panels will save taxpayers' dollars.
Frankie Valli, title track to Grease, the soundtrack for the motion picture. The motion picture was the big summer blockbuster of 1978. And that was the number one song on this day back in 1978. Reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Selena Heller is back with us as well, working on stories for Up North News, headed back to her old stomping grounds in the BRF area to talk about the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. That and... let's see, there was also ARPA, the American Rescue Plan, and some of the other ways that the Biden administration, and now the Biden-Harris administration, has worked to increase energy efficiency, fight climate change, but also make the ways to do that more affordable. And it's that part, Selena, the affordability measure that Black River Falls and other school districts were wrestling with.
Right. So in Black River, I mean, the buildings and ground supervisor's name is Kent Weinman, and he's been wanting to do something like this, you know, talking about it for a lot of years, but it just never was attainable and it just never made sense. And so these projects were kind of put out to other entities before, homeowners and solar panels and things like that. But now they're open to nonprofits and schools and churches. And so they thought they would take advantage of it because now they can afford it and now it makes sense. And so he talked to me, we went up on the roof. And so I've never been on the roof of the high school. I mean, I spent a 4 years there, but so it was my first time on the roof, of course. And so he talked about now they get a 30% tax credit, which made it something that they wanted to do.
All right.
And so this is Kent Weinman.
You look to lean towards on that solar, but then realize the price point is the payback wouldn't be for 20 years. We'd only get 5 years of free electric. When that 30% rebate came, that was the selling point right there. It's like, okay, these will be paid off in 12 years and we'll be running free.
And that's the important thing is to calculate that return on investment. I mean, again, it's very easy to for somebody to say, oh, well, free money. Sure. Well, let's put up solar panels. But then if they never actually pay for themselves, they're not worth the investment. But yeah, he definitely you get the impression from the story that you can read at upnorthnewswi.com. This is a guy that's run the numbers repeatedly to make sure that this works.
Oh, right. And they're called a legacy project because they have done so many updating projects and looking at all of their energy things from the company that installed the solar panels, because they've done so many upgrades in the HVAC system and LED lighting. And so he's really committed to kind of things like this and looking at projects. So what this is they The energy offset is 22%. That's what they're hoping to get out of this. And then that's $15,000 a year in savings for them. And they got to focus on energy utility rebate for more than $13,000. And then the one-time Inflation Reduction Act tax credit of $87,000. So that's how, it's a lot of numbers. But that now he talks about even more savings on top of that. And here's how he explains that.
You can save money in two different ways with the solar panels. The number that shows you saving $15,000 in savings in electrical savings, that's just part of the picture. Another part of the picture it got explained to me is, okay, you're saving $15,000 in cost, but that's also lowering our demand from the utility. And by lowering our demand from the utility, that can drop us into a lower rate. So we're saving $15,000 directly from our utility bill, but by dropping into a lower rate, we might be able to save another $10,000 to $15,000 just with our rate charge. So that's the hope, is maybe $25,000 in savings.
$25,000 in savings is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's a big number. Yeah. Like, yeah, when you look at it that way, and then you see, then after this 12 years, they have the solar panels have a lifespan of 25. So in 12 years, they're paid for. So they have 13 years of all of this money coming back.
Yeah. And it's not, of course, just solar panels. You've already talked about school buses, electric buses, other district owned vehicles that could replace, you know, older fossil fuel burning models. But then there's also the angle as well that school districts can partner with the neighboring community or other communities to provide benefits to residents as well. There are just so many available options out there where, again, that tax credit comes to a nonprofit like a school district, basically in the form of a direct payment, which can help offset the cost of all these things. Now, interestingly enough, Selena, for all the talk about what was happening up on the roof, it's probably another project that he was working on at the time that gets more attention. The new scoreboard is that where the football team plays?
Well, right. Yeah. They're getting, the day I was there, they were putting up a new scoreboard. And so he's like, okay, I'll meet you up on the roof in a little bit. And so he was over there and then we were doing that. And then the funny thing is, he's like, you know, that's a visible project. This project is not visible for people. So what we're doing is we want people to see this. And so we're putting a monitor in the foyer of the school. And so students can watch the energy usage and things like that and see that, you know, more energy is being received during the midday or whatever. So they can use it as a tool in their classroom and other people can see the project that's on the roof. You can put the solar panels in a field or whatever, but you can't see them on the roof. But a football scoreboard, you can see a big project like that. But he said, we want people to see this and see what we're doing here.
I love that. I love the idea of the monitor in the lobby that you can look at and, you know, actually see the benefit. I think more politicians ought to be doing that. If you know, the Biden-Harris administration should have like these monitors or these billboards up, you know, that show the actual savings so that it's not just some kind of a concept, but that you see cold hard numbers. And you know that some teacher somewhere is going to turn that into like, okay, today's math problem is to go out to the lobby and here's what it said last week. And basically the kids are going to calculate the savings to the taxpayer. You know, and sure. Look, and then
cloudy days versus yes. sunny days. And,
yes.
And here's a funny thing, too, that, you know, people were like, what about snow? How's that going to work? And they produce just enough that the snow will melt off. And then it also acts as a cleaning of the solar panels when the snow slides off. So
exactly.
Snow is nice.
Yeah. I mean, for all the, you know, Trump makes all these jokes about, oh, what if it's cloudy? It's like, it still works. And even when it doesn't work, if there's battery backup or it just works at a lower level, like you said, and then you more than make up for it on some of those sunny days as well. Yep. Selena Heller, you can follow the story she's working on, upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnews on your favorite social media posts for her videos. Thanks, Selena. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. When we come back, some more voices from the Democratic National Convention, folks that we talked to, including the Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, coming up next here up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the Shaw, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police have arrested a man in the shooting death of a champion gymnast at UW-Whitewater. Kara Welsh was 21. Welsh was shot and killed near campus Friday night. Claims about Kamala Harris's favorability do not hold up. Here's Trisha Young with a Wisconsin Watch fact check.
Representative Derek Van Orden's claim from July 29th that Harris was the most unpopular vice president since polling began is not supported by historical data. At their peak, Republican vice presidents Dan Quayle and Dick Cheney had higher unfavorability ratings. Quayle's peaked at 63% and Cheney's at 61% compared to Harris' 58% in September 2023. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch.
This is Civic Media News. Wisconsin families who qualify can send their kids to college for free under the Tuition Promise Program, a similar program in Minnesota benefits Indigenous students. More from Mike Mohn.
Households earning below $80,000 a year qualify for free tuition at state colleges and universities. Experts say limited scholarships are one of the many obstacles Native Americans encounter in the world of higher education. White Earth Tribal and Community College President Anna Shepherd doesn't sense the new program will lead to a big enrollment boost, but for students receiving the aid, it could take their college journey to greater heights.
What I really appreciate is that they're not going to have to graduate having debt. And so maybe they're going to pursue a master's or doctoral, so then they don't have to worry about that.
She says juggling student loans and other college debt often limits Indigenous populations from obtaining advanced degrees. I'm Mike Mohn.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. America has been wondering why Pamela Anderson took a powder when it came to appearing in the 4-episode docuseries After Baywatch. Well, not all of America, but some of America. Okay, a few people. Despite being prominently featured in one of the episodes that actually credits her with making the show a success thanks to her infamous sex tape with her husband at the time, Tommy Lee, she said no thanks. Anderson says when the sex tape came out, she was mortified and to this day still has not watched it. The studio reportedly was going to fire Anderson to protect the show until it actually made ratings skyrocket. It's called show business, folks. After Baywatch is currently available to stream on Hulu. Someone is using the image and likeness of Hollywood icon Tom Hanks to sell wonder drugs and cure-alls on the internet. Hanks appeared in a public service announcement to let people know that it is AI and he would never try to sell people something that was fraudulent, except for the man with one red shoe.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-50s. More sunshine for Tuesday, a high to the mid-70s and a little breezy. Sunny in upper 70s on Wednesday. A chance of showers and storms into Thursday. It's 71 right now.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad. Or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to the John and Gordy Show. This week, John and Gordy welcomed in Ben Penrod, organizer of Mad X, a comic con and pop culture expo coming to Madison in a couple of weeks. To hear all of these shows anywhere in the world, check out the Civic Media app, available on the Google Play and Apple App Store.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Einstein's Express, where we move your package so fast that we actually break the time barrier. In fact, we guarantee that your package will arrive at its destination at least 12 hours before you send it. Einstein's Express, when it absolutely, relatively has to get there the day before yesterday.
You know, I should have used that to get my ink cartridges for my printer.
Yeah, your printer hasn't worked for a couple of days.
For a couple of days, and it's very difficult to plan the show without having this stuff printed out in front of me.
You know, we have printers here at this office.
Yeah, I know, but it's like last minute, and it's tough to put all this stuff together, you know.
It's hard to be you, isn't it?
It's hard to transition to the 21st century, isn't it?
I know, using paper again. You know, I'm really transitioning into the 21st century, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Right now, let's get to our first guest here, and it is Ben Penrod, and he organizes a lot of the comic cons in the region. And welcome to the program, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for having me.
And we're talking about the Mad X Comic and Pop Culture Expo that's coming to the area. It's going to be here on Saturday and Sunday, September 14th and 15th, and it'll be going on at the Expo Center. One of the things that I'm really interested in is that, you know, we've had a few of these Comic Cons here in the area, but this one, I mean, this is quite a lineup of guests that you have, celebrities showing up for this, and it's one of the big deals at these Comic Cons is getting somebody's signature or meeting some voice an actor that you haven't had a chance to meet before, even sign a comic book that you have. This is really a fantastic event. You have quite a lineup of guests this time around.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're really excited. This is super, this is kind of a really, maybe a little bit bigger lineup than I expected when I first started planning this.
Really?
We've got Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob, who's, you know, arguably the biggest cartoon character of all time.
Yep.
We've got the voices of Phineas and Ferb. We've got Rachel Lee Cook, Will Friedle, Alicia Witt, Ross Marquand. These are like huge actors. Ross is in X-Men 97, as well as he's been in like The Walking Dead and a lot of other things.
Well, let me ask you about the X-Men 97. Is that a newer cartoon? That is a newer animation,
yes,
right?
So they basically, the X-Men animated series from the 90s, they created a new season that started right after that one ended. So that's why they call it X-Men 97. Mm. It takes place in 97. And so we had booked this lineup for Mad X a few months ago, and then when the X-Men series started airing, I started realizing that we actually had like half of the actors on the show already coming to Mad X. It's actually really cool. So between Ross Marquand, David Arago Jr. and Ray Chase, I think we've got quite a bit of the X-Men 97 lineup.
That's incredible, because I have two Gen Zs at home, and they keep me updated on this, and they talked about X-Men 97, even watched an episode with them. And it was really interesting. I couldn't put my hand on whether it was a newer cartoon or an older cartoon, because they call it X-Men 97, and it's throwing me off completely. So
yeah, it's kind of a throwback. It's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it is. And I'm a big fan of the superhero movies. You know, do you have any guests from any of the big superhero movies that have been out?
So Ross Marquand, he played, he was the Red Skull in Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. It's not like a major role, but he was in those.
Wow, that was great. That was great.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think we've got, I'm trying to think if we've got any other like major superhero folks. Alicia Witt was just in Long Legs. Mm-hmm. That's not a superhero movie. That was a Netflix movie.
Well, let's move on.
It's a lot more animation, like voice actors and stuff, and people who have been in TV shows, I think.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about this Comic-Con as well. I mean, you get to meet the voice actors, and it's, again, my Gen Z sons are very much into who acts when and how in what anime movie or television show that they've been watching, right? I mean, this is a big thing for them.
Oh, yeah, and the anime is super huge, super mainstream right now. If you go into like Hot Topic or GameStop at any mall, you'll just see lots of anime merchandise and stuff like that. So we've got lots of voice actors from, you know, My Hero Academia is a big one, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Attack on Titan. What is the other big one? We've got Demon Slayer is another really big one.
Yes, yeah. Do you have
to? No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's pointing your finger. I mean,
sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. And plus, you know, you've got like gaming out there. You've got the comics. Do you have a comic affiliates out there, like the comic stores, the collectors' comics that people can buy or even sell their comics at?
Yeah. So we've got our list of exhibitors is on our website at madisoncomicexpo.com. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of see what we've got. If you go on our website, you can kind of see what the list of exhibitors is. I know we've got a lot of comic shops set up. And if you have a collection that you'd like to sell, we definitely have vendors at MadX that will buy your collections for sure, or at least make an offer.
Right, exactly. I've gone through auction sites myself, like Metropolis Comics out in New York. They have Comic Connect. And they usually have a booth at the bigger events most of the time, and you can bring your comics in, and they take them and consign them and sell them at auction. So I was looking for that at your site. I don't think there are any of them at this.
I don't think we've got somebody like Metropolis set up. I know we've got Patrick Sullivan with Updog Comics is going to be there. He's travels all over the country buying and selling comics. But I'd have to look at the list and see who else we've got. I know we've got, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 comic vendors at the con.
That's great.
We're talking with Ben Penrod. He's with MadX Comic and Pop Culture Expo. And Ben, how many of these expos do you put on a year? You organize these all over the country, right?
Yeah, we've got 7 or 8 shows. We're kind of based in the Midwest right now. We've got aside from MadX, in November, we've got Twin Cities Con, and that's a pretty big show. And then in the spring, we've got Des Moines Con, and we also run cons in Florida and Alaska.
Now, you know, I've gone to a few of these comic cons, and it's fun to see there are little areas and groups.
Yeah.
Some are playing games, and they have guests who are like hosting those games, and a lot of people are at their tables participating in the gaming part of it. Then you have, of course, the sessions where you can line up and visit with the guests that are there. But one of the things that I really enjoy, I'm a consumer. I love buying stuff. So, you know, you have the stores, you have all of the goods and souvenirs that you can buy. And I was looking through your rules, and I know I've been to comic cons where you can buy actual weaponry.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Now you have a rule here where you can't have like metal or steel weaponry and swords and knives and things like that.
Frowned upon.
I've been at the comic con in Chicago, but they do have these things. These are actual real weapons.
So you can definitely buy a sword at MadX. Okay. But you won't be able to, you'll have to keep it in the box until you leave the building.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Well, you know, they have people walking around in costumes, you know, and they have these gigantic swords and weapons.
So they have like, you know, they're like replica swords. So like, let's say you're a big fan of Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You've got like a Lord of the Rings replica sword or from, you know, Game of Thrones, or a lot of anime have swords. So the replica sword business is a big deal at the con.
Well, I know it is for me.
And you're required to wear costumes there. Is that
no.
gain admission to
no,
them?
No,
well,
you really
everybody
don't
does.
Have to.
Everybody does, right?
No, not everybody does.
All the pictures I've seen of you, you're always dressed in costume.
Ben, bail me out here. Not everybody has to wear a costume. I
not everybody has to. It's highly encouraged. Highly encouraged, but you don't have to.
I took my entire family, and I was Dr. Strange, and my wife. What?
That's cool. That's really cool. I feel like you got to do this now.
Yeah, I know we're going to be there actually for this thing. And yeah. My son was Spider-Man from Home. What is the name of that movie?
No Way Home.
Oh no, yeah, No Way Home.
Is that right?
Yeah. He had the sweatsuit costume, and boy, the kids just
nice.
Loved that. Oh, the kids loved it.
Yeah.
And
what was Anne dressed as?
She was Black Widow.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and she was good.
And your other son?
A good Black Widow. And my other son was an anime character, which I cannot name because I don't know it, but he looked just like the anime character.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was crazy. Yeah.
I was going to ask.
I want to see this Dr. Strange. I think you'd make a great Dr. Strange.
Well, thanks. Yeah. We do have a picture someplace.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that either.
Yeah.
I was going to ask. Dr. Strange. My high school actually ran a gaming convention. So I've been to that a couple of times. I've never been to an actual Comic-Con though. I'm sure that there, like you mentioned, vendors, there's cosplay, there's some gaming that goes on, and then all of the guests. Is there anything else that would be a big draw to the convention? Are there any like speakers or stuff like that happening?
Yeah, so we've got we call them panels, but it's, you know, Q&A sessions with the celebrities. Mm-hmm. There are a few other things like maybe some workshops. We've got Jerry Shepherd, who's an author, and she runs a lot of like author type workshops. She does a lot of sci-fi writing, and so there's a lot of cool, like, you know, kind of educational and informational stuff. But again, our whole schedule is on our website if you take a look at it.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of Q&As with the celebrities, but also, you know, just kind of me scrolling through here real quick. Oh, there's the costume contest, obviously. That's like the big thing that ends each day. That's a big deal. But,
well,
you know, there's
I wasn't even a part of any of those in the Chicago one. Man, I wish they had it at the time.
So we have one on Saturday and on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, but looking at other things, there's you know, it looks like we have a panel all about cosplay wigs.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, learn about cosplay wigs, 2 p.m. on Sunday.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'd love to have that.
What is cosplay?
What is that?
Oh, so like cosplay is like people who dress in costumes. It's like if you go to the convention dressed in a costume, that's just called cosplay.
Yeah.
So like if
dressing
you're,
up as a character, it's short
dressing
for
up
costume
as a character,
play,
yeah.
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I got to tell you that we walked down State Street in our costumes right after that. When we got it back up here, we went down there, and people were shouting at my son who played Spider-Man, and they were saying, "Thank you, Spider-Man," you know, just like in the movie.
That is so weird.
This is one of my favorite things about running these conventions is just kind of being around the area as it gets taken over by people in costumes.
Yes.
And then you've just, you know, you've got some random person walking down the street like, what's something's happening in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son, when, you know, a few people did shout that. In fact, a little children did the same thing. It's like right out of the movie. He turned to me and says, "I think that guy's drunk." it upset him.
Well, Ben, we're all out of time, but thank you for joining us. It's Ben Penrod from the MADX Comic and Pop Culture Expo. It's going on at the Alliance Center September 14th and 15th. And what's the website to go to, Ben, if people want more information?
Yes, madisoncomicexpo.com.
Very good. Thanks again for being with us. Have fun at the
Expo. Like a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We'll probably see you there, definitely.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Good deal.
No problem.
7:49, we're coming back with Leftovers, This, That, and the Other, Odds and Ends, all on the John and Gordy Show, WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Summer may be coming to an end, but there's still time to enjoy a beer with your neighbors at Merrill Crest Park, September 5th through the 7th for Waukesha Parks, Rec, and Forestry's Neighborhood Beer Garden. Enjoy live music, food, socializing with neighbors, and of course, beer. The excitement is already brewing for this year's before and after school program as space is filled quickly. But stay tuned for so many more fun things to do. Visit the WaukeshaWI.gov activity guide for more information.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters form.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Earl Ingram Show, where this week Earl was joined by Dr. Kwaku Rommel Smith, a licensed psychologist, social activist, and father. The pair discuss global dangers as well as local issues that impact the development of our children and the health of our society.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Man, I don't know where the time went, Doc. Man, we got to do this again, man. We got to do this again. Dr. Rommel Smith, the blacksmith that's plying his trade. Nobody does it better. I'm going to go right to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always. You know, I'm very interested in what the doctor's talking about, and I'm looking for... I don't know, verification. Now, I suspect when the media changed away from having a fiduciary responsibility to basically, you know, all's fair business responsibility, along with that, then the divide and conquer messaging of fear and mistrust permeating the media ever since the 90s, and quite frankly, it's gotten worse. I want to get the doctor's thoughts on the media's role in creating this somewhat of a disconnect from reality.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Doc?
No, Mike, you know, your callers, that's why I love listening to your show, because your callers are always on point. And when I listen to Mike, that's absolutely it. And so, you know, obviously as a psychologist, we talk about the psychology of media. We talk about the psychology of marketing. And when you look at who own all of the major broadcasters, it goes back into the almighty dollar. And so what is the whole purpose of it? Long lost are the days of the people like Walter Cronkite, the people who you could look at and see, hey, this is going to be an objective news. We're going to give you the facts and the data and let you look at it yourselves. But now when we see the news where you say they have the fear mongering, you have partisan politics, and then it's all controlled by the dollar. Because when you look and see who owns the company, the biggest thing I learned was to FTD, follow the dollars. And when you see where the dollars go to, you see who owns everything and then what they're trying to create. And what, like I said, is they do create division. They do create a fear. And all of these things is what brings out the worst in society. As we had left right before with the last caller, we said, what's the most important part? What's the nurturing? So what environment are you raised in? Again, we go back to the song, Caravan of Love. If we put our people around loving and caring, I know it seemed a little, you know, like you said, oh, this is this really realistic? You know, it's like got an Elysian kind of feel to it, utopian state. But when we can do decency, even if you say we can't do love, but if we can do respect versus fear, hate, comparing, dragging people down, you're going to create a different human being. And what our news does, it with the propaganda, it propels us and props us. If you listen to a person who only listens to Fox News, they're going to be slanted in a different way. And that's how you can even get extremes as QAnon. because people fall down that rabbit hole of nonsense, and they can go to the far on the left also. So what it comes to is about how can we have a balanced approach so we can really be equally educated. But within our education system, it doesn't allow us to become critical thinkers. And so it teaches us to be programmed robots. So when we hear things, we automatically believe it without fact checking. And it allows us to set those ideologies. And those ideologies, like Mike stated, usually puts us in opposition to the people who we should be aligned with.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, we the people ultimately are the government. So we must never forget that. However, we do need to get money completely out of politics because since Citizens United, Buckley versus Vallejo, and First National Bank versus Bilotti, those are the three Supreme Court decisions that have made it where our politicians don't have the courage to actually stand up and say we need to get money completely out of politics and we need public funding of elections. If we did that, we could probably get back to where we are. I want to ask the doctor, what would you recommend so we can get money out of politics, lobbyists out of Washington, and restore government back to we the people?
Hey, John, thank you for the call. Go ahead.
And I know we're running short on time, but I think that's the scariest part, because if you look at like what's on Agenda 47 or Project 2025, these are the things that I think make that even further possible. Noam Chomsky wrote a book called Requiem for the American Dream, and he talked about how the dream was being denied. When you look at the regulatory agencies that were put in, the FDA, the EPA, things of this nature to make sure everything was under control, what happened? You had regulatory capture where the lobbyists then, not only did they were able to pay off the people who were in charge of these places, they started to put their people in charge. So there was no safeguards, no safe rails. And so when you look at a Supreme Court that's supposed to be nonpartisan, but it's very partisan, that lets you know that our democracy, when they talk about how fragile it is, we are in that fragile state. When I talk about we are a nation in decline, that is the thing. The question is, can we recapture it? And the only way we can recapture it, if really we the people put a halt to it. But with the things that are inside what our society right now is making it more difficult for us to be able to pull it back in before we find ourselves in an autocratic monarchy fascist state. And that's where we're headed if we don't be careful.
So, Dr. Smith, quickly, I live in the city where young people, unfortunately, have given up, many of them, and who think that they're not going to live to be 15 years old. And so they have guns. Somebody made sure that 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds have access to automatic weapons. And these young people are, as you stated, stealing cars, and they're wreaking havoc. And, you know, and the police and police can't solve these problems. And yet we keep hearing people say more police, more jails. What are they missing?
But it's just like you said, they want to solve a problem by not really looking at the problem. When we talk about a budget of a country, that's going to give you, that's the moral document in which they tell you what's important. And until we start to see the finances put in, the policies and procedures put in place to be able to give those who are the least of society a chance to really be able to live the true American dream, where you're supposed to be able to rise as high as your ability would allow you to, but everybody has that fair and equal chance, we're going to see a society exactly where it is. And a lot of times people don't like to hear this. And this is, again, to the just the last caller. It's like, how do we get it back? The question is, most societies are greedy, and the greed usually chokes them out to the point that it destructs their society. And that's where we're headed.
Hey, Doc, man, can we do this again sometime?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's an easy yes. Oh, well, we definitely going to make this happen. Man, thank you very much. Kiss the babies. I saw your wife and your daughter at an event last Saturday in the community. So, man, so
good.
Yeah, so we'll be talking soon, man. Thank you. Love you. Love you.
All love.
Thank everybody who made the show go, Calvin, as always. Thank you to listening audience. Without you, we couldn't do it. Up next, Greg Box standing in for Jane Mettner. Hey, be safe. Enjoy. You know, the rest of the day.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
WAUK invites you to join us every Saturday from 8 a.m. till noon for the weekly Waukesha Farmers Market. As we head into the harvest season, their choices at the market change every week. From fresh fruit and vegetables to sweet treats, crafts, flowers, and food, there's something for everyone at the Waukesha Farmers Market. Stop by the 540 a.m. WAUK tent and spin our prize wheel for fun prizes and say hi to some of our local WAUK staff. See you this weekend at the Farmers Market with WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.